Okay, well, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. So that is in the New Testament. If you're finding your way around the Bible, probably in the last quarter of the Bible as you open it up. Starts with Matthew, and then Mark, and then Luke, and then the Gospel of John. We've been talking about the harvest, really praying and seeking, Lord, what are you wanting me to do to go into the harvest field as you sent all of us to do? And you sent us because your word says you had compassion for the hopeless and the helpless. The harassed and the helpless, Scripture says. You had compassion for this broken world. And when you were looking at them, you were saying, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And we see that today. The more that we drift away from God's word, the more we drift away from the church, the more we drift away from being a part of his body, the less we know about God's purposes and plans for our lives, and the more we sin. Right? It's just kind of a natural thing. The less you know what God wanted us to do and not do, the more chance there is of us doing or not doing it. And that's just the reality. And unfortunately, the more we find ourselves recreating God into the image that we would like him to be, rather than simply who he is, the more without a shepherd we find ourselves to be. And so Jesus calls us to the harvest field because he has compassion on us. And he calls us with love and grace and mercy. This verse, John 3:16, is probably one of the most famous ones. You see these all over the place, right? You see them behind home plate. Oftentimes somebody sitting there with a John 3:16 sign, that's the one up there. This kid somewhere, look up John 3:16. Guy over here has got a John 3:16 tattoo on his arm. You see that? My future son-in-law's got John 3:16 on his arm. This gal's got it on her wedding dress. I mean, people, they put this Bible verse all over the place, even golf. I haven't seen it in golf very often, but apparently even in golf. Why? Why is this such a famous Bible verse? It has the whole story of the gospel, of God's love and his grace and his mercy. It's all in there. It's such an easy to understand, clear picture of the gospel. It has that story of truth for all of us. And it's the story of truth for the world. Well, let's stand together as we will read. We've been focusing on our harvest verses, but we'll add on John 3:16 as we read God's word together. Ready? All right. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Thank you first for your heart of love for us, Jesus. It doesn't change. Your desire is the same today as it was then. Thank you, Jesus, for being unchanging in a world of change. And thank you, Lord, for this promise that we have that is ours if we would understand the simple message. Thank you, Jesus. Bless us as we dig into your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's a verse that even in today's less and less people know about what the Bible says. But even in today's day and age, people have at least a basic understanding of John 3:16. They've heard it. They've seen it. They've seen somebody talk about it. And it's, like I said, it's a powerful thing. It starts off, and we're just going to take it apart a line at a time. It starts off with love. For God so loved the world. He had compassion, as our harvest verse talks about. He had compassion for the harassed and the helpless. And no matter the world state, whether it is because of somebody else's choice that hurt and caused the person to be hurting and harassed and helpless, or through the choice of the person's own choice, no matter, God so loved us, so loved us. And you know, no matter how small or large the sin, the love of God is still the same. Now, I used to think that when it said, for God so loved the world, I used to think that the so was, you know how we use, I love chocolate so much. We use it kind of as an emphasis on something. You know, we made ribs and they were so good, you know, whatever. It's kind of this emphasizing thing. But that's really not how it's used here. It's using more of a descriptive. So it says, so God loved like so. He loved like this is what that really means. For God so loved the world. So God loved the world in this way is what that verse, that word so, actually means. And the power, the greatness of God's love for you, the vastness of his grace towards you was this way. The this way is the next part. What was the next part? That he what? Gave his only begotten, his one and only son. God loved the world like this, that he gave his one and only son. So much compassion, so much love and care and concern that God has for his creation, his beloved creation. God loved the world, God loved you like this, that he gave his son, his one, his only, his beloved son, for you. That can become kind of a, yeah, heard that a million times in church thing. But we need to wrap our minds around that. For you. You. He gave his one and only son. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. It prefaces this verse saying, you know what? Not many people will die for somebody. Some might die for a righteous person, a good person. But if people may not be willing to give their lives or give their children's lives for somebody else, God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't say, after we had put ourselves together, Christ died for us. After we had made sure we cleaned ourselves up enough to be acceptable to God, he died for us. We can never be acceptable enough for God because our sin follows us around. wherever we go. As many good deeds as we can bring with us to God, unfortunately, we got a wagon full of bad deeds that come along with us. And God said, I know that. And while you were still dragging that wagon full of bad deeds around with you, I still loved you so much that I gave my only son. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Nowadays, we are almost offended by nothing anymore. And we rationalize the rest. We had 2 weeks. Bill and I didn't coordinate this. I had a message talked about why are we so harassed and helpless. It's because much of it is because of sin in our lives or the sins of other people that have hurt us because of their choices. And then Bill did a message on the forgotten three-letter word, right? Forgotten three-letter word of sin. And sin matters to God. We want to kind of blow it off that it's not that big of a deal. God loves us more than that, and he doesn't worry so much about our sin. Sin matters to God because of of the consequences of sin. We want to try to tell the Creator how the Creator, the creation should work. And God says, it doesn't work that way. I created you. I designed you. And it's my plan that will bring blessing into your life. And as we reject his plan for ourselves and go our own way in whatever sin that might be, God has every right to say, you know what? You walked away from me. Your choice. Done. I don't have to offer you anything. I created you. I don't have to offer you a thing. And yet, while we were walking away from God and going our own way, while we were yet sinners, he said, I know you're rejecting me. And I know you're walking away from me and giving me the hand. I'm still going to come and die for you. I love you that much. That while you're rejecting me, I will come and love you enough to die for you. That's powerful. God so loved the world, loved us, that he gave his one and only, his only begotten Son. Oh, here's the grace part, that whosoever believes in him, whosoever believes, don't you love wearing name tags? You know who whosoever is? Everybody. Whosoever would believe in him. Grace is love giving you what you don't deserve. Grace is God's love giving you what you don't deserve. Like me, I was Mr. Nice Guy on the outside in my early years, even when I was playing in my bar band days. I was still a nice guy, wasn't I, Terry? I was a very nice guy. God knew it was all the rest of the stuff that I hid from everybody else. Grace is God's love giving me what I didn't deserve. Even though I had people fooled on the outside, God's not fooled on the inside. He knows the judgment, the criticalness that I had in my heart, the selfish self-protection that I lived under. He knew that. And he says, you know what? I'll still die for you. Whether we hide it under a nice facade or we wear our sin on display for all to see, whosoever, right? Whosoever, that's grace. Whosoever would believe will what? would not perish. That's the mercy part. Grace is us, God's love giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. That's what mercy is, right? Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is what? The wages of sin is death. It's what we earn for our rejection of God in our lives. Our sin earns us eternal death. Our sin earns us hell. Our sin earns us separation from a God who loves us. God, a loving God would never reject somebody for eternity. That's what we like to say. It's like saying, getting mad at God for gravity. If I'm not paying attention and I'm just going about my thing and I fall off of here flat on my face and bust my nose. God, what's up with the gravity? Come on, that's not, you're so mean, God. No, that's gravity. It's a law. It's the way it works, right? I decide I'm going to hang out in the sun all day at the beach, and I don't put any sunscreen on, and I'm just out there fishing or whatever for about 6 hours in the sun, and I'm cooked. I am blister red, and I get mad at God for the sun. God's like, don't get mad at me. You know. That's the way it works. And sin is the same way. The consequences of sitting in the sun for 6 hours is bad sunburn. And the consequences for sin, Scripture says, is spiritual death, separation from God for eternity. That's just the way it is. We kind of love to do the love part of God, don't we? We love the God so loved the world part. We don't really think about the shall not perish part, though, do we? Right? We want to skip over that part. We want to ignore the whole sin, death, perish part. But the cross makes no sense. Without mercy, the cross is like, why? Why did Jesus have to come and die if all it was about his love? He loves us and was going to bring us to heaven. Well, what was the deal with the cross? Well, the cross has had a purpose. The cross, Jesus had to come and die for us. He had to be the substitute for us so that my death would become his death. So Jesus, well, another grace explanation. Am I there? Yeah. So grace is God's love doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. And that's really our salvation, our coming to faith in Christ, our living our faith out. Without God doing it in us, we can't do it ourselves. Grace helps us to do what we can't do ourselves, right? So Jesus didn't just get you off the hook for your sins. He got on the cross in your place. It wasn't just a something that was unnecessary. He's just going to bring us to heaven anyway. There were sins that needed to be paid for. They needed to be. And without it, we were all dead in our sins. We have to recognize that idea that sin has a consequence. We can't avoid it and just have a half of a gospel. In order for the good news of Christ died for your sins to make any sense, we have to have the bad news of your sin brings you eternal death. when I recognize that my sin is a big problem that I can't fix, when I look to Jesus, I'm saying, it's like the guy drowning in the middle of the ocean. It's too much of the world thinks we're drowning in a 4-foot pool. But really, I can just stand up and I'm good. No, you are drowning in the middle of the ocean. And without a Savior to pull you out of there, you will die. That's the cross. The cross is our life preserver. That's what we hang on to. Jesus pulls us out and brings and gives us life. That's the only way the cross makes any sense. Otherwise, it was an unnecessary death. So thank you, God, for the cross. But he didn't just stop there with saving you. He redeemed you. He redeemed you. He bailed us out, right? We had a debt to pay, and he purchased our debt in our place. It's like if I had my house loan and all of a sudden I was out of work and I had no way of paying for it, I'd lose my house, right? Unless somebody came in and redeemed the debt for me and paid that debt for me. That's what Jesus did for us. He bailed us out. He fixed, we were a broken people, and he fixed us through the cross. And more than just fixed us, he didn't just fix us and then leave us, but he adopted us. He adopted us. He made us his very own beloved children, his very own beloved. And he didn't just forgive you. Forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness, where our sins are remembered no more. He doesn't bring them up to us and say, hey, remember about that? What about that? Oh, you're having a bad day today. Well, that's just like before when you did that. God doesn't bring our sins back up to us. When he forgives us, he says, I will put them in the past. I will remember them against you no more. And that's awesome, isn't it? To be able to not carry that guilt anymore, we can say, God, forgive me. And he says, you're forgiven through what Jesus did on the cross. But more than that, he didn't just forgive us of our sin. He gave us victory over our sin. We don't have to live under the weight, the burden of our sins anymore. We don't have to be in bondage to the things that we just keep dragging us back into the train wreck that sin makes of us. He says, through my Spirit, I will give you victory over that sin. You don't have to walk in that anymore. Let me walk with you and help you, and by my Spirit, by my power, you'll have victory. So that's awesome. It's not just forgiven of our sins, victory. And he didn't just fix our life here, although God does amazing things. How many people's lives are so much better because of what Jesus did in your life? Amen. He makes a huge difference in our lives when we put our faith in him. Doesn't take away all your problems, right? But boy, he walks with us through them in ways that we couldn't have done without him. But it's not just for this earth. God rescues us for eternity. His desire is what? That should not perish, but what? Have eternal and everlasting life. God's desire is not only that we walk in fellowship on this earth, so you don't have to walk alone anymore. Isn't that good news? You don't have to do it alone anymore. He says, I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you to the day you take your last breath, and then we'll walk together throughout eternity because I'm bringing you in to be my child from this moment of faith forward through eternity. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Grace, right? All those things, God doing in you what you couldn't do yourself, what we needed God to do. And he, with great love, desires to do that. Now, how did you know? Did someone tell you? Did someone tell you about the grace of God? What's the answer to that? Whether somebody verbally told you or somehow a Bible given by someone came into your hands, somehow someone told you about the grace and mercy and love of God, right? How will they know unless someone tells? And how will they tell unless they are sent, right? Unless they go. That's the amazing grace that we've been offered. And you know what? We all have a grace story to tell. Every one of us has a story of the grace of God that he has worked in our life. And every one of us is a whosoever that says, you know what? Let me tell you what God has done in my life. We all have that story if we put our faith in Christ. We all have that story to tell. And you know what else we all have? We all have someone to tell it to. There is somebody, and you may not know them or who they are right now, or maybe they're not even quite crossing your path yet, but the minute we say, Lord, here am I, send me. I don't know who and I don't know how, but you send me and I'll go. We will have a person that will cross our paths. And somehow, maybe it won't be the first time we cross paths with them. Maybe the first time we meet them will just be to say hi. Maybe it'll just be to do a kindness towards them or say hello. Or, let them know if they're going through a trial. I'll pray for you. It may be different. It will be different for each and every one of us. But if we go through our lives with that, here am I, Lord, send me. There's a harvest field out there that you said, pray the Lord, send laborers into the harvest field. You know what I learned at the training that our four fields training yesterday? What do we pray when we pray that scripture verse? Jesus says, pray the Lord the harvest to send. Go back to that, Scott. Go back to that verse, whatever it was, the second scripture reading verse. Yes, ask the Lord of the harvest. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, right? Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. You know, and what do we pray for? Lord, we need more workers. Lord, raise up more workers, right? Is he saying to pray for more workers? He's saying, workers that we have, just go. Ask the Lord, send out the workers. He's not saying send more workers, he's saying send out the workers. Send out workers into his harvest field. Now, will that be more workers? I would imagine so. We want God to send more workers before we go. And you know what he's saying? Go. Just go. You are the workers. You are the workers that you're praying God to send. You're praying for yourself to be sent. I continue to pray that God raises up more and more workers to go and share the love of Christ with people. But the reality is, he's saying, you pray that the Lord will send you. And God will place somebody in your pathway. I don't know who that will be or what it will look like. You don't either. And that can be kind of scary, can't it? Just give it to God. Say, Lord, you know I stink at this. I don't remember this. I don't know what to say. I get tongue-tied. I don't know the Bible. You know what everybody has? What's that? A story of what? A story of grace. What did God do in my life? We all have that story. And if you don't know what it is, we're going to think a little more about that next week. What is my story of grace? So we're going to celebrate with the last song on here. Worship team, come on up.